Morning. Today's Daven Erevin Chaf Tes. We're on Chaf Chesamad Beis. We are about two thirds of the way down on the Gemara. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Mar. It is about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Before the lines start widening, three lines before it widens. First word in the line is Lamentakein Ayideh Or. We are continuing our discussion here in the third parak of Erevin regarding Eruv Tchumim. And the idea behind Eruv Tchumim, that you have a Makom Shvisa and you cannot walk 2,000 amos beyond your Makom Shvisa. You have the option before Shabbos to move your point of center. And moving your point of center, one can set up an Eruv. This is what's called an Eruv Tchum. And the idea behind an Eruv Tchum is that you're going to set down a food that is going to be equivalent to two meals worth. And you set it down in a certain location. It is a location that you can access going into Shabbos, and during the Benesh Mashas period, the Makom Shvisa will be kona for you, and this is going to be the way that you're going to be able to move your Makom Shvisa, your point of center, so that you can now walk 2,000 amos from your new Makom Shvisa. We are going to be discussing over the course of yesterday and today the details in terms of how much food is necessary in order to put down. The rule actually is very simple. It has to be food equivalent to two meals. But as we're going to see over the course of today's daf, so the exact amount for each and every food is going to vary. And it will become clear at the end of today's daf, but the truth is we'll probably start here tomorrow. And that is that when we're talking about the various different foods that are necessary, even though the rule is two meals, it's going to be that each food is going to be different in terms of how much it represents regarding two meals. Okay, so it is going to be very similar to the discussions we had back in Shabbos regarding the amount that one has to carry in order to be chayev, where it's going to be dependent on the food and the significance of each food. Here, in our discussion in Erevin, in third parak, it's going to be similar in that we're going to be discussing many different types of foods, and we're going to be talking about the amount we're going to need of each of the foods. In fact, later this morning, the Gemara is going to try to use the halachas regarding Shabbos and Hotzah on Shabbos, and try to relate it over here to Eruvin and Tchum, and setting up an Eruvin Tchum. Although, we'll see later on, the Gemara is not going to be so thrilled with the comparison between the two halachas, two different areas of halacha, but nevertheless, at least later on, the Gemara is going to make an attempt to try to compare the two. Yesterday we talked about, yesterday's daf really revolved around a statement that was made by Rav Yehuda. You go back to Chav Chesamad Aleph, and right in the middle of the Amud, right after the two dots, Am Rav Yehuda, Mishmei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei de Rav. So a statement that was made in the name of Rav, and that is foods that are slightly inedible. So the Papuan, the Chalag Lagos, and the Gudgan Nios. So those are foods that you could make an Erev Tchum in. And what can I tell you about these foods? Only the third one, which we discussed in some detail yesterday, is coriander. So you can make an Erev with those items. But you can't make an Erev not with Chaziz and not with Kafnios. Now, Chaziz, the Gemara spoke about yesterday in detail. That's basically, it's green grain, grain that was unripened. So that is something that you cannot make an Erev with because it's simply underdeveloped. And the Gemara spoke yesterday about kafnios. Kafnios are the unripened dates. And those are something which also, in its current state, are not edible. And so, therefore, they are something that cannot be used for a ruvi tchumim. The Gemara explored the idea yesterday that with these unripened dates, the idea is that it's possible to make them edible. Rav Yochanan said yesterday that you can put them in a fire and you can toast them up and they're going to be sweet and edible. That's true, but at least in the current state that they are right now, they're not edible, and therefore they cannot be used for your Erev Tchum. All that stated, we quoted a brisa yesterday, right in the middle of the Amud, regarding a little bit above that. I'm sorry, about a third of the way down, regarding hearts of palms. So we quoted a brisa. The brisa was a little bit difficult, but we didn't note it yesterday, and so we're going to be starting this morning by the Gemara going back to the brisa, revisiting the brisa, and trying to understand some of the seemingly difficulties within the brisa. Amar Mar. So we pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Rav Yehuda Amar Kor Harehu Keis Lichol Devarav Ela Shenikach because of Meiser. So as far as heart of palm is concerned, so how do you view it? It's basically tree. It's wood. You could purchase with it your kesef of your Meiser Sheni, but outside of that, it's basically wood. So again, it's a little bit strange, meaning the Braisa acknowledges full well that people eat the heart of palm, and you can even purchase it with your Maaser Sheni money, which we discussed in great detail at the beginning of yesterday's daf. But meanwhile, it's not really a food. It's a food. It's not a food. Anyway, and then Hainu Tanakama. What the Gemara is bothered by is that this opinion of Rav Yehuda and the Braisa followed the Tanakama's viewpoint. And meanwhile, the Tanakama basically said the same thing. And so when you have this distinction between a Tanakama and Rav Yehuda, where they're arguing, but they don't seem to be arguing over a point, so that's difficult, and the Gemara now is going to try to address it. So Hainu Tanakama, so he's basically saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Amar Abaye Shalaku, I'm sorry, Shalku V'tignu Ikebenahu. So maybe with a lot of cooking and a lot of frying, so that would be the difference between them. Meaning if they were cooked really well or fried really well, so you soften them, you render them edible, and maybe then there's a machlokus. The Gemara says, machlokus? What are you talking about? You take something which is inedible, you render it edible, there should be a machlokus about that, and that's exactly Rava's point. Maskal Rava, mi ikla mandam or shak v'tigna lo? I don't understand. You cook something, you fry something, you render it edible, v'atanya or v'ashol yeh metam into masochlen. So, or sheshalku v'shoyi shechishev aleihem metamim to masochlen. So, you were talking about parts of the animal that are inedible, the hide of the animal, the amniotic sac of the animal. So, they're not subject to masochlen. And meanwhile, you cook them really well, you render them edible. So, they're metamim to masochlen. They're susceptible to masochlen. So, it's clear that you take anything which is not edible and you render it edible, so obviously it's going to be metamim to masochlin, and the Gemara is saying there's no way that we could be arguing over that point. So Ela Maravi Kabinahu Bracha. So the Gemara says fine. The difference between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda is going to be what bracha do you make over hearts of palm? Didmar, now we go back to the six parak of brachos, core that when it comes to heart of palm, so Rav Yehuda Omer Bar Priadama, Ushmul Amar Shakol Niya Bedvaro. So it's a machlokis amorayim. In terms of what the correct bracha is, Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Priadama Uchlohu. So Rav Yehuda says, look, the bracha is Bar Priadama. What is it? It comes from a plant. It comes from a tree. But as we already learned back in the sixth parak of brachas, even those things that come from the tree, if it's not the fruit proper, so then the bracha is going to be a Bar Priadama. Only the fruit proper that comes off of a tree, the bracha is Bar Priadama. So over here for a heart of palm, so the bracha is going to be a bari pri adam according to Shmuel. It's uchla, it's food, meaning it's basically a product of the tree. And now Ushmuel Amar Shakol Niya Bedvaro. Shmuel's of the opinion that the bracha shahakol kevi shesof alahakshol so mevarach in ilave bari pri adam. So you know what's going to happen to heart of palm if we don't cut it out of the palm tree and we allow the palm tree to grow. So what's going to happen to the shoot is that the shoot's going to harden and it's going to be perfectly inedible. So even though we got it at an early stage, but we can't really call that the product of the palm tree. And so therefore the bracha is going to be shahakol. Okay, anyway, so now what we have is that we have a new explanation of what's the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. Well, the machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa is not going to be a question of whether it's a food or whether it's not a food. And the nafkamina is not going to be whether I cook it or whether I don't cook it. The difference is going to be a question of what's going to be the bracha. When Rabbi Yehuda describes them as wood, so basically when Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa describes them like wood, so that means to say that he basically subscribes to Shmuel's viewpoint. I know historically I'm a little bit reversed. In other words, Shmuel's the Amora, but the two positions sync up, they line up. And that once you're describing the heart of palm as wood, so even though it's edible and even though you can eat and even though you're going to make a bracha, but when all said and done, it's basically something that's going to be wood. So if it happens to be that we preempt and we take a bite of and we eat it, but still the bracha is not going to be a bar priadama, but rather it's going to be a shahakol. Okay, so the Gemara concludes that in fact is the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. It's the same machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel regarding what the bracha is going to be. So Amar Li Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda. So over here, Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, Shin na kavatzech mistabra. You know, your position seems to be the more logical one, and that is that Snosha Sofa Lahakshov Umevarchinan Alea Barei Pri Adama. You know, let's take the radish for example. Now the radish, you leave it in the ground long enough, So it's going to ripen to the point where it's so hard. And meanwhile, when you eat radish, the brachas bar pri adama, so you see that even though something, if we were to leave it and it were to harden, but nevertheless, if we take it at an earlier stage and eat it, the bracha is bar pri adama. I think you're right. I think the bracha on hard palm should be a bar pri adama, the velohi, but the Gemara just simply dismisses that position. It's known nita inche adaita de pugla, dikla lo nita inche adaita de kura. So the Gemara says, yeah, but intention over here is going to be really important. When people plant and try to harvest radishes, so they're interested in harvesting radishes at the edible stage. That's not necessarily true when it comes to hard of palm. Hard of palm is edible, but that's not why people plant the palm tree, so that they would eat hard of palm. So intention becomes very significant, and that is a big difference between the two. The Alpha Gav the Kalsi Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda. Now, Shmuel did praise Rav Yehuda's viewpoint, Hilchasa Kavasi to Shmuel, but the halacha falls like Shmuel in that the bracha of hard of palm should be a shahakal niyevid varo. Okay, Adkan the Gemara now basically dealt with what seems to be the problem with the Braisa in that there is a machlokus, and meanwhile there's no machlokus in the Braisa. And the Gemara says that really the machlokus revolves around bracha. And then the Gemara coordinated that the machlokus of the Tanaim is the same machlokus as the Amoraim. And so the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel regarding what bracha should be made on hard of palm is really the machlokus of the Braisa. Okay, and the Gemara also concludes that the bracha for hard of palm should be shahakal. And in terms of modern day hearts of palm and what the bracha should be, so there's a lot of consideration that is taken in terms of what the bracha should be nowadays. Not for our discussion, we got a lot more daf to cover. But meanwhile, however, numerous articles are written regarding today's heart of palm and whether the bracha should in fact be shahakal as the Gemara's conclusion, or maybe it's bor pri adama. Nowadays, the harvesting of the heart of palm is much more common. Okay, and that is a more modern discussion. Okay, and here we go. We are now towards the bottom of the Gemara on Chaf Chesem at Beis, and a discussion now begins, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, and it really will cover the rest of today's daf, and that is the amounts of food that are necessary in order to make up Eruv Eitz Chumim. Again, the rule is really simple. It's two meals worth. But again, when we say two meals worth, every food is going to represent a different amount in terms of how much it's going to make up of each of the two meals. And so the Gemara now is going to be giving shiurim for each of the foods, how much you have to put away for the Erev Tchum. Okay, and so the Gemara begins, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, so we start off the Gemara's discussion. Kshos v'chaziz ma'arvim behu. So we go back to yesterday's discussion, that when it comes to hops and the green grains, so those are two statements that were made by, those are two items that Rav said that you can make an Erev. Umavarchim la bar pri adama. Now the bracha is going to be a bar pri adama. So kshos bekama. So how much are we talking about when we're talking about the hops? Kedam Rav Yechiel, kimlo hayad hachanami, kimlo hayad a handful. Amarav bar tovia bar yitzhak amarav, kimlo uzilta di ikare. The amount of the uzilta di ikare, some sort of bundle that was used by the farmers, the Ikar. Amar Rav Chilkiah bar Tovia ma'arvin b'kilya. The Gemara now moves its topic to discussing the kilya. Okay, I don't know what it is. Rashi describes it as kelach shel esav v'kasha ke'etz. Okay, it's some sort of stalk, but outside of that, I don't know. Anyway, so b'kalya sagadacha. So the Gemara right now thinks that the Gemara is asking about the actual branch itself. The branch is perfectly inedible. So the Gemara says, Ella biyarka dikalia. Okay, we're talking about the leafy part, which is eaten. V'kam am Rav Yechiel kimlo hayad. So it's going to be a handful. Rabbi Yirmiya nafak le kir yasa. Rabbi Yirmiya went out to the villages. And ba'mine ma'la ari bepun lachin. Question was asked to him, moist beans. Can a person make an Erev Tchum with moist beans? So lo hava biyadi, he wasn't sure. So kiyasa lebe medrash am relay, they went to the base medrash and they said to him, hacham rav yana ma'arvim bepulin lachin. So they said, yes, you can make an Erev with moist beans. V'kam rav yichil kemlo hayad, a handful. Am rav anur ma'arvim b'charjin chayin. And now we are going to be discussing beets. Now the Gemara here is going to be discussing raw beets, and with the Gemara is going to have a short discussion regarding raw beets that will take us to the top of the Amud Aleph. Hini, the Gemara says, now wait one second, Mahamar of Chista, Silka Chia, Kalto Gavr Chia. Now the Gemara says, why don't we first take into consideration the statement made by Rav Chista, you eat raw beets that will kill I was going to translate literally, a raw human being. Meaning raw beets are going to kill a person. And the Gemara says, not necessarily. How be basha v'lo basha. So the Gemara says that Rav Chista, when he was talking about beets killing people, so that's if they're partially cooked. So you can eat them raw, that's good. You can eat them cooked, that's good. But when they're right in the middle, that's the worst. Ika d'amri, the Gemara says now in another version, so Amrav Hamnuna ein ma'arvin bi tardin chayin da Amrav Chista silka chayin katel gavrechia. So in the second version, so it's the raw beets that kill, and so therefore don't use it for your Erev. Don't eat it in general, and don't use it for your Erev. Aka chazinen da aka achla v'la maisei. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? I see people eat raw beets. So hasam b'basha v'la basha, the Gemara says, no, that's when it's partially cooked. Obviously, you have a major discrepancy between the first version and the second version regarding the general health appropriateness of partially cooked beets. Okay, and I guess it would be sakanas nefashos, but a lot of this also kind of depends on how we generally react to beets and raw beets. Back in those days, so obviously they had difficulty with the beets. By the way, parenthetically, the beets, what exactly are going to be the issue with raw beets? Let me save that comment for a little bit later. And anyway, so So we have two versions over here regarding partially cooked beets. And the Gemara therefore says, whichever version you're going to work with, whichever one is the unhealthy version is the one that you're obviously not allowed to make an Erev with. So the Amar of Chista Tavshal Shal Trajan, the Gemara now is going to be discussing just for one more moment the benefits of beets, specifically cooked beets. So Yafalei V'tov Le'inayim is good for the heart, it's good for the eyes. The koshekin livnimayim is good for the intestines. Amar Abaye behud yasev abeitape v'avitoch toch. Make sure that's cooked in the pot, and it makes the toch sound, meaning it boils, and you actually hear the boiling of the beets under those circumstances. So then, it's going to be really good. Amar Rava. We're continuing on Chavtes Amar Aleph, and a discussion now regarding making an Erev Tchum using apples. But the Gemara introduces the apple discussion with a little bit of an irony. So I'm Rava Harini Ben Azai Beshuki Tveria. So I'm like Ben Azai in the marketplace of Tveria. And what is meant by that is take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes Harini Ben Azai Beshuki Tveria. So Yuma Bidicha Hava Le Rava. So it happened to have been a really, really clear day for Rava, meaning mentally clear. The Amalula Talmidav, and basically he challenged his students. And Hashta Sili Daite, right now I have a really clear mind. And I'm basically can answer every single question, just like Ben Azai was able to do so in the town of Tveria. And Rashi points out, during the times of Ben Azai, nobody was his equal. Rashi does, however, point out in the brackets, except for one. Haya Omer. Ben Azai himself would say, "Kol chach miyisrael lefana ki klipas Hashem, chutz mina karech hazeh." All the other talmidei chachamim to me, I basically are like peels of garlic, except for one individual described as the kareach. Okay, he's making reference to Rabbi Akiva. So anyway, Rava, obviously historically later, a couple hundred years later. So Rava now is basically saying, I got one of those days. I'm really sharp today. You can ask me anything. I'm going to be like Ben Azai. Now, I caution all the listeners, myself included, it's better just to deliver and don't preview yourself as somebody who's going to do really well. As will become evident in the Gemara over here, even though he claims it's a really clear day, we'll see exactly how clear it was for him. And perhaps the Gemara over here just wants to tell us a lesson alongside the basic halachas that we're learning today, that a person should not be so cavalier in terms of his ability to answer questions. All right, Amarava, let's start again. Amarava, Harinika Ben Azai B'shukei Tveria. So I am like Ben Azai. So Amalei Umar Rabban LaRava. So along comes one of the Chachamim to Rav and says, Tapuchim Bekama. So how many apples do I need in order to set up my Erev Tchum? What are 2 meals worth of apples? Amar Lei V'chim Arvin B'Tapuchin. So Rava dismisses the question out of hand. You're asking me how many apples to use? Rava says, you don't use apples, period. Apples are simply not are not appropriate. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand Rava's position, and the Gemara is going to reject this position, which is the irony to the entire introduction, but it's a little bit difficult. So perhaps over here, the word tapuchim, right, we obviously apply our modern conventions to what the Gemara is describing over here. For the Gemara is describing regular apples like you and I understand, it is most difficult to understand why it would be that Rava dismisses apples out of hand to be used for Erev Tchumim. They're obviously edible foods, and they could be accompanied with a meal. Maybe there are two possibilities over here. I'm sure there are more than two possibilities, but two basic possibilities. One is that the tapuchim that the Gemara is describing over here are not the apples that we understand it to be. Maybe something more like crab apples or right, some type of really bitter apple that's not edible. It's a suggestion. The other possibility is that apples back in the day were considered a dessert. And so maybe it's not the reason why Rava rejected it out of hand is simply because it doesn't come with the meal, but rather it's a dessert. Either way, Rava says, don't ask me about apples. We don't make an error with apples. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Below. V'atanan. The Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? And that is called the Ochlim. It's from Lepsosakviya Bechasi Pras. That when it comes to foods, so or any and all foods, meaning any consumable foods, are going to make a person tamei by eating chatzi pras, half of a pras. So v'mazon shtei seudos le'eruv. They're also going to combine for 2 meals to make erev tchumim. And uche beitza le'tamei tumas ochlin, and the amount of a beitza in order to be susceptible to tumas ochlin. In terms of making a person tamei, that was the first year that was given here in the Mishnah. So Rashi over here goes through that min haTorah, you eat tameh food, you do not become tameh, but midrabbanan, you do become tameh, and so that person is no longer eligible to eat truma if that person's a kohen. Anyway, the point of the Mishnah over here is that all edible foods combine. Apples are edible foods. So what is Rava talking about? V'hamai tiyufta. So ilam mishum diktani kala ochlin v'hani bnei achila ninu, and the Gemara now spells exactly out this point. So the Gemara says, look, the Braisa says all edible foods. We're talking about edible food. So what's Rava saying that you can't make an Erev Tchumim with your apples? Of course you can. So the Gemara says, look, if it were just the Mishnah by itself, that's not enough of a refutation of Rava. So remember Rav Yochanan? We introduced our parak with the statement of Rav Yochanan, which is that even when you have a general rule does not cover everything. And there are going to be exceptions. And even when the Mishnah of the Braisa says these are the exceptions, those aren't the only exceptions. So over here, it doesn't mean all edible foods. It means most edible foods. So Elam Mishnah Diktani. So the Gemara says, fine. But consider the following. Uve mazun shtei seudos le'eruv, uchebeitz al tamu tumas ochlen. V'haninami b'nei tumuye tumas ochlen ninu. Yeah, but I'll tell you why the Mishnah is difficult against Rava. Because the Mishnah note 3 different halachas. The third of which is the amount of food necessary in order for susceptibility to tumah. And if I have a kebetza, the equivalency, the volume of an egg, so now it's going to be matam tumas ochlin. Now, certainly that is going to include apples. Apples are certainly subject to tumas ochlin. And so now you go back 1 halacha in that Mishnah. So if it's subject to tumas ochlin, it's also going to be eligible to make a ruvei tchumim. So the Gemara says, so basically, it's a dismissal of Rava's position. And so now, again, this goes back to, Rava says, it's a clear day for me. And basically, what the Gemara is messaging us is, not so fast. Yes, right, Rava was a gonatzim, but it's just, in general, a cautionary tale about declaring to everybody how sharp you are. Vikam, and now the Gemara says, fine. So now apples can be used for Eruv Itchumim. So Amrav Nachman Tapuchin Bikav. So the Gemara says the amount that you need is going to be a kav. It's a measurement of volume. So Meisvei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Uchla Tavon Velitra Yerek VeAsara Egozim VeChamisha Afraskin Shnei Rimonim VeEsrog Echad. So we're quoting over here a brisa. The brisa over here talks about Meiser Ani. Rashi over here writes that when it comes to Meiser Ani, so that's a distribution given to Aniyim in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. So, and you have a lot to distribute. And what and the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here is that when making distributions of your Meiser Ani, each and every Ani should be getting a significant amount. And what we're learning together in this Brisa is what is considered significant amounts for the Ani. And the reason why it has to be significant, Rashi quotes last week's Parsha. So Rashi says, "Venasata lelevi." Rashi at the end of Dibra Amaschal Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rashi writes, "Venasata lelevi la gever leasam v'lamana," and you must give. And the key word over here is nasata ubatsi mahachelo habnesina. Anything less than the amounts over here in this brisa, I'd say either recommended or regulated, right? But this is a sheer nesina. These are significant amounts. So when you have spices, it's an uchla. Right, an eighth of a log, and so uchla tavlan v'litra yerek, and a litra of vegetables, and 10 nuts, and 5 peaches, 2 pomegranates, 1 esrog. So again, these are significant amounts that one is supposed to give to each and every ani of his meiser ani. And now, that's the brisa. The amar gursuk bar gursuk. Bar Dari Mishmei Derav Menashe Bar Shiguvli Mishmei Derav V'chein Le'eruv. Now these amounts, so they are all significant vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Meiser Ani. They're also the same amounts that are going to be necessary for Eruv Itchumim. And basically, what we're saying is the following: meaning, what is a significant amount? 2 meals worth. So what we just learned together is that for these various foods mentioned in the Brisa, so these are going to be 2 meals worth of these foods. With that stated, so now we can answer the question of how many apples, right, is going to make up Eruv Itchumim. Now you go back over that list in the Brisa and you look for apples and you're not going to find apples. So how is the Brisa going to be helpful? So the Gemara says, V'haninami lehaviki afarsikin. So the Gemara says, well, basically what we're going to do is we're going to make the jump from peach to apples. So, and the Gemara says, how many peaches were we talking about in terms of 2 meals worth that one's supposed to give to the Ani, which is going to be the same amount for a Ruvit Chomem, so it's 5 peaches. So the Gemara says, okay, so 5 peaches, so it must be equivalent 5 apples. That's what the Gemara is assuming. So the Gemara says, no, Hani Chashive v'Hani Lo Chashive. So the Gemara says, no, it was a nice try, but it's not an equivalency. Peaches are significant, apples are not significant, okay? And good. So the Gemara has not yet resolved how many apples make up Eruv Itchumim. I'm Rav Yosef. Sharelei Mar Rav Menashe Bar Shegbule. So Rav Yosef says, please, forgiveness should be given to Rav Menashe Bar Shegbule. Ana Amrisa Niala Masnisan. Because I said that vis-a-vis Rav. Rav's addendum is that V'chein Le'eruv. So the way that it was presented by Rav Menashe is that it was going on the Brisa. And Rav Yosef says, no, don't attach it to the Brisa, attach it to the Mishnah. V'hu amra Brisa. He said it on the Brisa, and meanwhile should go on the Mishnah. What Mishnah? The upcoming Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Peah. Eighth Perek of Peah. Dinani ein pochasin la'ani begorin. As far as when you're giving to the Ani, you're making distributions to the Ani. So, me chati kav chitim v'kav sa'orin. A half kav of wheat. A full kav of barley. Rabbi Meir Omer chati kav saorin. Rabbi Meir argues in terms of how much barley we're talking about, half a kav. V'kav chati kusmin v'kav gorgris om mana devela. And the amounts regarding spelt and figs. And Rabbi Akiva Omer pras. Rabbi Akiva says half that amount. Chati log yayin. And a half a log when it comes to wine. And Rabbi Akiva Omer revius. Rabbi Akiva says it is a quarter of a log. Revi Shemin. Now when it comes to oil, a quarter of a log. And Rabbi Kiva Amar Shmins, Rabbi Kiva says an eighth of a log. Ushar Kol Peros. Now when it comes to fruit, so Amar Abba Shaul, K The amount where if you sold the fruit in the market, you'd be able to walk away with enough money, with enough value, in order to be able to purchase two meals worth. Good. That's the Mishnah and Peah. Now, Amar Rav v'chein le'eruv. And on that, Rav says the same thing is going to be true regarding Eruv v'tchumen. The amounts that we just registered regarding the distributions that are given to the Ani, so that equivalency is going to be the amount necessary in order to set up Eruv Tchum. Now, Umay Umay Dahach Dahai Mehach. Now, as far as Rav Yosef's insistence that Rav's statement of the Chein Le'eruv should be going on the Mishnah and Peah and not on the Braisa, so the Gemara goes on to explain. So the Gemara says, now, maybe it's because of the following. In the Braisa, so one of the things mentioned in the Braisa were spices. And you don't eat spices by themselves, and so therefore spices are not significant vis-a-vis Eruv Tchumen. Maybe that was the objection. So the Gemara says, no, that's not it. Because look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about wheat and barley, and presumably raw wheat and raw barley, and they're not eaten. So the Gemara says, no, the issue over here is that the Mishnah says, how much wine are we talking about? A half of a loaf. Now, the Amar Rav Ma'arim B'Shtei Reviyah Shel Yain. Now, we know that when it comes to Rav's position regarding wine, how much wine do you need in order to make up an Erev Tchum? So you need two Reviyahs, which is equal to Chatzi Loaf. And so, therefore, what comes out over here is that we have a match. And not only do we have a match, but if you think about it, that's a lot. Now, I say a lot, by the way, it's not a tremendous amount in terms of quantity, but it's more than what we expected. Consider, when making kiddush, so how much wine do you need? You need a quarter of a log. You need a revius. And over here for Eruvei Tchumim, you need now twice that amount. Okay, now you can already probably figure out, yeah, you need twice that amount. Because we keep saying again and again, I need two meals worth. Okay. But still, the idea is over here is that you need chatzi log. And now what we have over here is a match between what we know Rav's position is and the Mishnah in Peah. So since it matches and it's a little bit more than what we expected, so now it comes out that Rav Yosef says, that's why I'm insisting that Rav's statement should be going on the Mishnah as opposed to the Braisa. And let me just read that inside. V'am Rav Ma'arim B'Shtei Reviyah Shel Yain Midbein and Kulei Hayin Need So Much Shmamina Ki Amar Rav V'Chein La'eruv Amas Nisen Kamar Shmamina. So the Gemara says, good. So Rav is really going on the Mishnah, and not like reported earlier that it's going on the Braisa. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the apple discussion. So where do we stand in terms of apples? So as opposed to Rav, who says that you can't make an Erev Tchum with apples, so the Gemara says you can. In terms of how many apples we need in order to make up two meals, so that has been undetermined. The Gemara thought to compare it to peaches. The Gemara says not necessarily. Amramar, uvemazon sheisudus leirov, you need two meals worth for an erev sever of Yosef lememar. Ad ika suda mehai suda mehai. So I need a meal's worth from whatever food that you're using. But basically, what I cannot do is I cannot combine different foods in order to make up a meal's worth. So Amalei Rabba, Afilu Mechzel Shishlu Reviyah. No, you can combine. In other words, take whatever is the amount necessary for one meal, and you can prorate. So in other words, if I have five peaches, so now instead of five, let's say I only have one peach, so that's already making up a fifth of a meal. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. So and you could use various foods in order to combine, in order to get to your meal's worth, and then ultimately to your two meals worth. Gufa Amarav Ma'arvin B'Shtei Reviyah Shel Yain. The Gemara says, we're going to go back to Rav's statement regarding using two Reviyahs of wine for your Eruv Tchumim. Umi Bein and Kulei Hai, do you need that much? V'atanya, Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, Yain Kedei Le'echol Bo. How much wine are we talking about in order to eat the wine? Now, when we're talking about eating the wine, I mean, the Gemara is going to say this in just a moment. But obviously, you drink wine. So what does that mean, eat? Stay tuned. Now, when it comes to vinegar, the amount that you're going to be dipping in the vinegar was a condiment. And as far as olives and onions, so the amount that one is going to be eating two meals worth. Now, hasam, Bechamer Mevashla. Now the Gemara says, now, as far as wine that we just learned together in the Braisa, so that's talking about cooked wine. Cooked wine is something that was used as a dip. And so therefore, the shear for cooked wine is going to be a smaller amount. Rav was talking about wine for drinking. As far as wine for drinking is concerned, it's going to be two revias. Amar Chomitz kedei l'tabal bo. We're going to go to vinegar for just a moment. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav kedei l'tabal bo mazon shei seudo shel yerek. The amount that we're talking about is vinegar in which we're going to be dipping vegetables, where the entire meal consists of vegetables, which means to say that we're going to need a lot of vinegar. Sorry for not giving an actual amount, but meaning it's going to be more vinegar than what we expected. Igadamri, now in the second version of the statement, Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Yerek Anecha B'Shtei Se'udos. Now it's Yerek that's eaten in the course of two meals, vegetables in the course of two meals, meaning that the entire meal is not made up of vegetables. The meal is made up of other foods as well. And it's just a question of vegetables being a side dish, and the amount of vinegar needed for the side dish of the vegetables, not as much vinegar. The Gemara says, now onions. You're making an Erev Tchum with onions? V'atanya. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Pam achas Shabbos Rabbi Meir be'ardiska. So there was a time where Rabbi Meir spent Shabbos in this town. Uva adam echa lefanav amar lo. And a person comes to him and says, Rabbi, irafti be'btzalim le'tiv'in. So I made an Erev Tchum. My Erev Tchum was made up of onions in order so that I could walk to the place of Tiv'in. Now, the only way that he can make this trek is only via his Erev Tchum, which gave him an extension to be able to walk from one location to another. But he also admitted to Rabbi Meir that what he used to make his Erev Tchum was going to be onions. And Vahoshiva Rabbi Meir Ba'arba Amishalo, and Rabbi Meir says, I'm sorry. The Erev Tchum was not a valid Erev Tchum, which means that you walked outside of Tchum. And we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta in much greater detail what happens when you walk outside of Tchum. But the short version of the discussion is, you are now grounded. And you can, right, literally, figuratively, you're grounded. And you can only walk within Dalet Amos. So, so what comes out over here is that Rebbe Meir disqualified the Eretz Chum because it was made up of onions. So the Gemara says, Lokashia. The Gemara says, fine, but that's not difficult. Hab alim, hab imahos. The onions that are rejected are going to be the leaves of the onion. No good. But we're talking about the bulbs. That's fine. Detayim will enter Nebraisach. Abatzal v'ishkim ames. A person ate onion. Next morning he died. Ein omri mima ames. You don't have to follow up with any questions. Why did he die? Va'amr shmol lo shanu ala ba'alam. Now on that braisa, Shmuel said, that's talking about the leaves of the onions. Aval b'imaos le'san ba. But in terms of the actual bulbs itself, there's no problem. Over alanami lo amaran ella delo ifsel zirsa, and even when the leaves of the onion, so the Gemara describes it as something which is unhealthy. Rashi describes it as poisonous. The Gemara in a moment will do so as well. Anyway, so that's only when it hasn't grown a zeres, right? The zeres is the distance between your two fingers when you spread them out. But if the leaves grew a zera, so then there's no problem. Rav Papa says that the only problem that the leaves of the onion represent is if you don't have a chaser following it behind. But if you wash it down with beer, so no problem. The relationship between Rav Papa and beer throughout Shas. Anyway, wash it down with beer. If you wash it down with beer, so then there will be no problem at all. The beer will mitigate. The Brisa says that a person should not be eat onions. It has some sort of poison within it. Rabbi Chanina ate half of an onion and it had poison. And he was about to die. Now it happened to have been that they really need him at that point in time, and they daven for him. And I understand, by the way, the dark comedy over here. And if they didn't need him, they wouldn't have davened for him. But apparently, his behavior was so irresponsible I'm cautious to say this, but his behavior was so irresponsible that maybe they wouldn't have davened for him. It's not clear. Anyway, he was needed at the time. They davened for him, and he survived. Amar Bizer, Amar Shmuel, Shechem Arvin Bo, Uposel as a mikvah b'shoshal lugin. Okay, that ends our discussion regarding onions. And so now we move in our discussion in the Gemara over here, and we are going to be discussing beer. As far as beer is concerned, so you could use it for Erev Tchum, and Rabbi Zer says in the name of Shmuel, so not only could you use it for Erev Tchum, but it also will pass on the mikvah with Shlosh Logan. So we know the halach is that when you have a mikvah, and the mikvah is not yet at 40 sa'ah, so how much of Mayim She'uvim is necessary in order to pass the mikvah? 3 lugin of Mayim She'uvim, of water that was put into a kli and added to the mikvah, bringing it to a total of 40 sa'ah, so that will posel the mikvah. Now, what's the halacha? It's actually very simple. It is only Mayim She'uvim. It has to be water. And basically what we're saying over here is that beer is effectively water. And the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, Maskevla Rav Kahana Pshita. Now Rav Kahana says, I think over here, it's such an obvious point, it didn't really need to be articulated. V'chima beinzeh lemeitzeva. What is beer? Isn't it just colored water? And did not Rav Yossi Omer meitzeva posel the mikvah b'shlosha lugin. Now it happens to be that we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah teaches us that colored water is effectively water. And so therefore, if it's Mayim She'uvim and it's added to the mikvah, and it brings it to the total of 40 sa'ah, it's going to pass on the mikvah. So beer is no different. And basically what the Gemara is bothered by is the statement that was made by Rabbi Zera in the name of Shmuel seems to be a statement that does not have a chiddush. So the Gemara says, Amri ha'samayi desive mikre ha'cha shichra ikre. The Gemara says, what do you mean there's no chiddush? Sure, it's a chiddush. All right, just ask anyone in the beer industry. Right? Are you selling colored water? And they would say, of course not. In other words, they would view it quite differently. Now, when all is said and done, meaning as far as the halacha is concerned, as far as mikvah is concerned, it really is colored water. But don't tell me it's not a chiddush. Of course it's a chiddush. In other words, people will see it as beer. And as such, you could have made the argument that it is more like fruit juice. Fruit juice is not going to pass on the mikvah. And so maybe beer would fall into the same category. And so maybe... So maybe it wouldn't pass the mikvah. And so no, that is so the Gemara says it really is a chiddush. Elsewhere, by the way, Tosfos has a discussion. Tosfos and Brachos. Tosfos has a discussion in terms of what the bracha should be made over beer. On one hand, it's water, like the Gemara here says, it's colored water. On the other hand, it's made up of fermented wheat or barley. And so, maybe the bracha should be something more like bor pri adama. So Tosha says the bracha shahakol. Tosha has arguments in terms of why it should be shahakol. But anyway, the Gemara over here clearly describes beer as nothing more than colored water. It's a chiddush, but ultimately that's how the Gemara described it. Uvekama Marvin, how much beer are we talking about? So Savar of Achab, Reid Rav Yosef, Kamed Rav Yosef Lemeimar, Betrain Revei Shichra. So you need 2 quarters. Now, 2 quarters over here is 2 quarters of a kav. So 2 quarters of a kav, which comes out to 2 lugin of beer. That is a lot more than the wine that we were describing just moments earlier. When it comes to wine, we were talking about 2 revias of wine. Over here, it's a significant amount more beer. How did we get to that? So the Gemara actually takes us through the math. Kidnan, amotiyan kidei mizigas akos. So here we start with the Mishnah on Shabbos. How much one needs to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayav for the malacha of hotza'a. So it is the amount, it's the dilution ratio. Now, v'tzini alak de mizigas kos yafa, a good cup. My kos yafa koshal bracha, we're talking about a cup that is used for a bracha, right? Benching, kiddush. Now, v'amar av Nachman, amar av baravua koshal bracha tzarech shehebo rova revius. Now, a kosher bracha requires a rova revius. Kedeshim zigen v'yamod al revius. So basically, it's a quarter of a quarter, so that when I do my dilution, it will turn into a quarter. Now, how does that work? Because ukedarava damarava, kochamer delodare al chad tlas maya lav chamerhu. Because we know the dilution ratio is going to be 3 parts water to 1 part wine. So basically, when I have my quarter of a quarter and I dilute it, so we're going to end up with a quarter. Now, there is a lengthy discussion. You could start to see the discussion right over here in Tosfos, where when we say a quarter, what do we mean? So Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos says that we mean a quarter of a log, which means a 16th of a log. And so when I dilute it, we end up with a quarter of a log, okay? Otherwise known as the common expression of a revius. That, Tosfos says, is a correct shot. And who gives an alternative shot? None other than Rashi himself. If you take a look at Rashi over here suggests that we're talking about a quarter of a kav. And Tosfos says that's very difficult. And, okay. Anyway, let's assume that we're talking about the standard revius. V'ketani seifo shar kalamashkin b'revius v'chalashovchin b'revius. Now, when dealing with any other liquid other than wine, how much do you have to be chai for carrying? So it's going to be a revius. Here it means the revius of a kav. So midahasam al chad arba hachanami al chad arba. So what do we see? What is the ratio relationship between wine and other liquids vis-a-vis carrying? So it's going to be 1 to 4. So presumably over here, when we're talking about the relationship between eruv etchomim, take whatever number it is for eruv etchomim for wine, it's going to be 2 revius, and just simply multiply that number by 4. And that gets us to how much beer we're going to need in order to be chayev, not chayev, in order to successfully make eruv etchomim. Velohi, the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what, the conclusion is not a valid conclusion, because what we're trying to do is draw parallel between the halachas of Hotzah on Shabbos and our discussion over here regarding Eruv Itchumen. Velohi, hasam hu debasim ha'achilo chashiv, aval hacha lo. No, when it comes to carrying, so we're looking for a davar chashiv. But over here, the avdi inshi deshasa kasa betzafra bekasa bepanyi v'samchi laveyu. We're talking about what is consumable amounts. And what's normal behavior is that a person drinks a cup of beer in the morning, a cup of beer in the afternoon, and that would be sufficient, that would be fine. And when we say a cup, by the way, I understand everything is relative, but when we say a cup over here, we're talking about a quarter of a log. And so people are not drinking that much beer, which you're describing, which is really 2 login, but rather a cup in the morning, which is a quarter of a log, and a cup in the evening, which is also another quarter of a log. And that basically is how much a person normally consumes vis-a-vis beer. Okay, and so therefore, the Gemara thought that the amount of beer would be 2 login. It seems like the Gemara scales significantly back and that I only need a half of a log of beer. Tamar Bakama. We'll do dates? Yeah, let's do dates. Okay, and we'll finish today with the dates. So Tamar Bakama, so how many dates are we talking about in order to make an Erev Tchum? I'm Rav Yosef, Tamar and Bekav, so it's going to be the amount of a kav. Again, a volume measurement. So I'm Rav Yosef, Minami Nala. Now Rav Yosef says, how did I get there? Detanya, because of the following, we start with a brisa. Acha grogros v'shilim tamarim. The brisa over here talks about the following. A person unintentionally eats the truma of a kohen, and he does so b'shogeg, so he has to make full restitution. And on top of that, he also has to add on a chomish. But anyway, so let's say he ate dried figs and he paid back with dates. Now, tava la bracha. Now, the brisa over here says, good. And so this person was extraordinarily generous. And for his generosity, he should receive a bracha. Now, hechidami. Now, the Gemara says, now, in terms of making restitution to the Kohen, let's understand over here, the brisa is saying that this person is extraordinarily generous. Now the Gemara says, are we talking about value? So my tavola bracha. So bezuza acha bezuza kamishalim. I don't understand if we're talking about value. He ate the value of, he ate one zuz value, and he paid back one zuz value. So that's considered generous. That's called doing what he's supposed to do. And he shouldn't be receiving this extra bracha for being so magnanimous, when meanwhile he just simply did exactly what he did. Elafi mida. So over here, what we're talking about is not where he paid back in terms of equivalent value, but he paid back in terms of equivalent volume. And griva de So what he did is he ate a griva, that's a value measurement of the dried figs, and it was valued at one zuz. And the kamisham lay griva de tamarim deshavi arba'a. And he paid back with one measure, the same measurement of dates, which is equivalent to four zuz v'ketani tavola bracha. Ama tamar madifa. Okay, good. And so now, by paying back the same volume, but with dates which are worth much more, so tavola bracha. And now the Gemara says, v'ketani tavola bracha. Ama tamar madifa. So you see that dates are better than figs. Now, in terms of figs, so we go back and we said that vis-a-vis the figs, we said it is going to be a kav. So over here, it should be a kav of dates should certainly be no worse, maybe in fact better. Okay. So Amalei Abayi La'olam Da'achominei Bezuzah V'Kamishalam Bezuzah. So Abayi says, no, I'd like to actually go back to the Braisa, and I would like to offer a new pshat in that Braisa, which is that he ate a zuz and he paid back a zuz. And my tavala bracha, and why is the Braisa saying that this person is such an right? We should be writing biographies about that person. So the achamine mida de lo kafetz leizvine, the kamishalim le mida de kafetz leizvine. Because even though he paid back with something of equal value, but something which is much easier to sell, dates in the marketplace are much easier to sell than figs, and so therefore, yes, he's going to get a zuz for either one of them. But the turnaround time, the resale of the dates is going to be much quicker than the resale of the figs. Okay, ad kan. We'll stop over here. Shisisa, we'll start with Shisisa tomorrow. And let's do a quick recap of today's daf. We started off our daf at the bottom of Chesam and Beis. We talked about the hearts of palm. The Braisa brings down two opinions, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. There didn't seem to be a difference between the two positions. Ultimately, the Gemara says, yeah, the difference is what bracha to make on Harzapam. Should it be a shakel? Should it be a bur piradama? The Gemara says, a machlokas amarayim between Rav and Shmuel, and that could be the machlokas tanai. From that point going forward, on the bottom of Chav Chesam and Beis, so we started the Gemara's discussion regarding amounts. What are going to be the required shiurim, the amounts, in order to make a ruvit chumah? So again, the overarching idea is it's got to be two meals worth, and now within that two meals worth, a discussion of each food is going to be how much in terms of two meals. And so, the foods that we covered over the course of this morning are, first we went back to our hops and green grain, the kaila plant, moist beans, the beets. Beets takes us to the top of Chavtes Amad Aleph. The Gemara talked about how beets can sometimes be very dangerous, and you have to make sure that you cook the beets really well before you eat them. The Gemara describes beets under certain circumstances to be deadly. Okay, two versions of Rav Chista regarding beets and whether or not there's any danger to eating beets. We then moved on to apples, our discussion regarding apples. Rav thought that you can't make eruvit chumim with apples. Why did he think that? Unclear. The Gemara does not give any explanation, but the Gemara ends up rejecting Rav's position, and that is apples can be used. How many apples are we talking about? That too becomes unclear. The Gemara thought that maybe it's the same as peaches. We know that five peaches make up an eruv tchumim. Maybe the same thing should be true regarding apples. Unclear. Whether the Gemara enjoyed that, What was clear is that the Gemara did not like the comparison. How about taking different foods and combining different foods? Meaning, not having two meals worth of one food in particular, but basically making a potpourri of different types of foods. So as long as the total amount is two meals worth, the Gemara says that's fine. Then the Gemara discussed cooked wine, vinegar, and onion. So the amount of cooked wine, the cooked wine was used as a dip. Vinegar was used as a dip. So the amount that is going to be used needed for two meals worth. In terms of onions, there too the Gemara had a discussion making a differentiation between the bulb of the onion and the leaf of the onion. The bulb of the onion, perfect, good. The leaf of the onion, at times, can be poisonous. And if somebody eats the leaf of the onion, he's basically taking his life into his own hands. The Gemara tells a story with Rabbi Chanina. He ate the leaf of an onion. He was about to die. They davened for him. He lived. Okay. Beer. The Gemara says that one can make an Erev Tchum with beer, two meals worth of beer. Beer is colored water. It's a funny conclusion, but that's the Gemara's conclusion. Therefore, it doesn't change the halacha. You could use it for your tchum, but because it's colored water, so therefore, if the beer brings the total of the mikvah up to 40 saw, so then it's going to passel the mikvah. That's maim she'uvim, and it will passel the mikvah. Vis-a-vis the amount of beer that we're talking about, so the Gemara also left that question unresolved in terms of the amount of beer. The Gemara thought that it should be 2 lug worth of beer, which in Gemara terminology is a lot of beer, meaning the amount of wine, if one cup of wine is 1/4 lug. 2 cups of wine are 2/4 lug or 1/2 lug. And meanwhile, the Gemara was entertaining the idea that for beer, we should require 2 lug of beer. So that's what the Gemara entertained. The Gemara tried to use the Mishnayos and Shabbos to get us to that conclusion, but the Gemara ends up concluding, not necessarily. When it comes to beer, it could also be just simply 2 cups of beer, 2 1/4 lug cups of beer. And finally, we finished off our discussion this morning regarding dates. How many dates are we talking about? So presumably, dates should be no worse than figs. The Gemara quoted a braisa regarding somebody who ate the truma of a coin by accident, making restitution. If he replaces the figs with dates, tava ala bracha. And the Gemara wanted to know what pshat in the braisa was. Presumably, the pshat in the braisa is that he is replacing the same volume in which he consumed, and tava ala bracha, because dates are better than figs. And the Gemara says, not necessarily. Pshat in the braisa is that what he replaced is the value. He ate a zuz, he replaced it with a zuz, tava ala bracha, because dates just sell much quicker in the market. Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf.